But we'll chat first to Matthew Ward and Jill Fraser-Lee from History Needs You. They're a Cambridge-based group bringing the past to life. We're going to talk about your Valentine's Day bewitchments event. But first of all, good morning, Matthew.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. Before we talk about specific events, though, just tell me a little bit about History Needs You.
History Needs You is a small business, me, Jill, and some silent partners. And we make history fun in various ways around the country. So we work for broadcasters, including the BBC. So, for example, this month I've been working on Poldark.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you've got my interest now.
Oh, yes. Advising them how to make certain scenes accurate. So the director says, well, we need an actor to do this particular action. So I train the actor how to do that particular thing. So I've been largely working with Dwight, the doctor character. But I've also worked with Aidan. And I can confirm that Aidan is a really nice chap.
I hope you advised him from a level of historical accuracy that he needs to do more things with his shirt off. I think that's how they did them in the olden days, Matthew.
I did advise that, but unfortunately the scenes we were filming were in a French prison camp and it was absolutely freezing, so the shirts...
I don't care. On the coast.
That's very kind of you. I'll tell Aidan next time.
Yes, please, pass it on.
We also redesigned museums and we set up events and activities in museums across the country. So we travel all over. So in the last month, we've been working in Durham, Leeds, Lancashire, Bristol, Yorkshire, all over the place, just making history more relevant. And that's our other big thing. Because we live in this wonderfully diverse society nowadays, it's no good talking about history in the terms of the dead white men that you and I learned history about in school. Because, of course, white men, you know, white educated men like me, were only a small minority of the population. We need to talk about history in terms of the majority of the population. So we talk about, obviously, about women in history. Jill's very good at that, being a genuine female woman.
She is.
I'm an actual woman, yes.
you look that way, yes.
But we also look at cultural parallels. So whichever piece of history we're looking at, we look at how it was looked at in other cultures at the same time. For example, the Ottoman Empire or the Mughal Empire. And we draw parallels with cultures today, so then people understand it. For example, the other day we were at Cambridge Mosque, at the Mosque Open Day, looking at cultural parallels between the cliches that people rail against, head covering, for example, and the fact that in England, most people covered their heads for most of history. Up until our childhood, our mothers would go around with their heads covered. Her Majesty the Queen goes around with her heads covered. And yet some people seem to take offence at people walking around with their head covered when it's a normal British norm for the last 2,000 years.
What a nice job you have, travelling up and down and doing all these interesting things. But
absolutely.
How do you do it, I suppose? I mean, you've given an example there at the mosque, but how do you make history tangible, I suppose, is what you're saying, isn't it? So it doesn't feel like it's something in a textbook.
We're what's called multidisciplinary, so it really means that whatever any project particularly needs in order to reach a diverse population of this country, whether it be children, adults, families, whatever. So what we do is we design something that's actually going to be best for those people. So that can be us acting, or it can be written, or it can be in film, or it can be in recording, broadcasting, whatever. So, for instance, in the summer, we're going to be doing a big event in Preston. Would you like to?
Yeah, in terms of creating events, a couple of years ago, we recreated the visit of Queen Elizabeth I to Cambridge in 1564. And we did that on a grand scale. We had a cast of about 50 people. And we recreated her visit in the actual places that she visited, including King's College and St John's College. And we had 10,000 people in the streets of Cambridge seeing a royal visit again in real time. And this was on the Cambridge Open weekend, which is in the first weekend of September. And that was not only the biggest event in Cambridge, that was the biggest event nationally in the country on the Heritage Open weekend. And the one that Jill's mentioned is building on that success. We're going to recreate the visit of King James I of England, / James VI of Scotland. And he conducted a royal progress in the summer of 1617, so 400 years ago. And it was his only visit to Scotland after he was crowned King of England. And it was a big political statement. Effectively, it was a series of party political broadcasts on location around the country. And we're going to be at a castle up in Lancashire. And this is the event at which the famous lump of beef was knighted by the king and dubbed sirloin. So we're going to recreate that, have the king having a grand dinner with hundreds of people watching with original 17th century food, and everyone's going to cheer as the king knights the beef.
Is that where the word comes from?
It's an interesting pun. The word sirloin is actually a French word, sur, as in on top of. And up until 1617, sirloin in the historical record was spelt in the French way, S-U-R. But it does seem that the king on that visit came up with this funny pun of saying it is S-I-R, sirloin. This beef is so good, I'm going to knight it. And he pulled out his sword and tapped it and said, arise, sirloin. And from then on, it was spelt S-I-R.
Well, well, well.
Well, there you go.
What a wag. Well, tell me about this Valentine's Day bewitchment event, because as you're saying, it's not all about kings and queens, is it? And this is a story of people much lower in the social structure than those. Tell me about who you'll be on this day and why.
370 years ago, England was racked by the most terrible civil war. We look across the world now and we see countries, especially the Middle East, which are pulled apart by war. But it was going on right here, especially here in Cambridgeshire. And families were fighting one another. And there were strands of economic differences, there were strands of political differences, but also religious differences between those who supported the established church, those who supported a more Roman Catholic style of religion, and those who were very stridently, puritanically Protestant. And amidst this chaos, the normal structures of law and order broke down. And in the power vacuum stepped one of the most notorious figures in British history, a man called Matthew Hopkins.
Ooh.
The Witchfinder General.
Oh, boo, yes, definitely.
Yes,
oh, absolutely. Yes. I didn't know the name until he said that, yeah.
So Matthew Hopkins, people may know of because Vincent Price played him in a movie, a Hammer House of Horror movie about, Craigie, what, 60 years ago, 50
yes.
years ago?
It's not particularly accurate, but it's a great movie, well worth watching.
And Matthew Hopkins was a very clever and devious man in that he set himself up, he gave himself the authority to search for, examine and have witches executed in this part of the world, in 1645 and 1646. He had no authority whatsoever. The normal legal systems had been broken down by the war, so he set up, effectively, kangaroo courts in which people could take vengeance on their neighbours, accuse them of being witches, and then Matthew Hopkins would use torture, the same stuff we've seen in Guantanamo Bay, stress positions, keeping people awake all night, every devious tactic to extort a confession out of people, put them in court, and have them convicted. But it was a cynical, money-making exercise. Because every witch that he had hanged, he was getting paid. So he was just doing this for money. He was a vicious, nasty, cruel man.
And it was men as well as women. You tend to think of witches being women, but there were men convicted as well. Largely it was women, I think.
So we're going to recreate a witch trial that's conducted by Matthew Hopkins in 1645 and 1646. So I'm going to be Matthew Hopkins, and fortunately...
Ooh.
Yeah, thank you, keep going, as I deserve it. Unfortunately, I looked like Matthew Hopkins. He wrote a book of his activities in 1647, and the picture on the cover looks rather like me, which is rather helpful, so I don't have to wear a prosthetic
mask. That's where the resemblance ends, hopefully.
And I did tweet that earlier, so if you look on the Cambridge 105 Twitter account, you'll see a picture of me as Matthew Hopkins and Jill as Mary Skillet, a witch.
And I luckily look very much like an old witch, you see.
I wouldn't say that. Now, so this is Valentine's Day. This is next Tuesday.
Yes.
It's not the most romantic thing for Valentine's Day?
Perhaps not, but not everybody wants to go and have a romantic meal and have roses and chocolates or whatever. So we're looking at the other side of Valentine's Day in the form of bewitchment. So Mary Skillet here is accused of bewitching a man for nefarious purposes to get money out of him. And the witch trial is going to be interactive theatre. So although we play the two main roles of being Matthew Hopkins and Mary Skillet the witch, the rest of the cast are going to be the audience. They will be the jury. They will be the witnesses. They will be the magistrate and the defending counsel.
So this is the audience will decide what happens.
They
yes.
will, if I hang
oh,
on.
Oh, I was going to say, Jill, you're hoping for a kind lot of people to come
I
through
am.
The door.
I am, yes.
And what did happen? Well, I think we know what happened to witches. Were they were dunked, was it? Or was...
The dunking was a cynical method. I keep saying the word cynical, but it fits this man like a glove. Dunking was done to prove that they were witches. And it was a cunning thing to do. Matthew Hopkins invented a method of swimming people to prove that they were witches every time. It was infallible. The theory behind dunking was, if you put somebody into the water who you thought was a witch, if they floated, they were rejecting the water, which is the sacrament of baptism in the Christian church, and if they're rejecting the sacrament of baptism, they're a witch! And you can hang them. But what Hopkins did, he refined the method, which had been mentioned in King James I's book, Demonology, in 1613. And what he did was take a witch, tie her right thumb to her left big toe, and tied her left thumb to her right big toe. And if you try that at home, boys and girls, you realise that you're in the mushroom float position that we all used in our swimming lessons at school. And if you're in a mushroom float position, if you remember from your swimming lessons, as I do from mine, you will not sink. You will bob up and down on the surface of the water like a cork. And that's what Matthew Hopkins did.
So there was no way out for these women?
Absolutely no way out at all. He would torture them until they gave a confession. So he would present the confession in court. He'd present physical evidence. He would present hearsay and the fact that they floated. And so a lot of them hanged. And in a short period, I mean, it was only, you know, it was just over a year, 1645 to 1646, he had something like 300 people hanged.
Wow.
He's one of the most prolific serial killers in British history.
Yeah.
And he got away with it because he did it in public where everybody could see him.
In plain sight.
Plain sight.
Wow, so you're getting into these roles right now. Jill, good luck.
Thank you.
Do you have a script or are you doing it based on...
No. It's based on our knowledge of history and the characters and what happens.
So what women would have said to defend themselves, yes. and what he would have said to accuse them.
And what our witnesses say and what our jury decide. So, yes, we are in the hands of the audience.
So rather than learn a script, we learn characters and we learn history. And because, you know, we've been teaching history for donkey's years now, we know the background story very, very well. And so we're able to improvise in character continuously and just keep going. So whatever the audience curveballs are thrown at us, we can deal with. And so it becomes a bit of a game, because the audience know that it's a game as well. And some of them will try and deliberately throw us off. Some will join in with great gusto. And people really enjoy it, because... You know, normally you go to a theatre, you sit there in your seat and just watch it happen. It's just like watching a film in a cinema. But this is theatre where you're on stage and you're part of the action. And it's going to take place in the upper room of the Museum of Cambridge, which is on, what's the name of the street?
It's on Castle Hill.
Castle Hill, yeah. So near, I suppose, near Magdalene College. And it's a beautiful old building that used to be a pub. And we're going to have it all lit with candles, so it's all going to be either romantic or spooky, depending on your point of view. And the guests are going to come in, have a glass of wine, be allocated a character, and then we'll go into the courtroom and the witch will be dragged in and justice shall be done.
Well, do you know, it sounds absolutely fantastic. You can go away after that and have a romantic meal, can't you?
Oh, well,
having
theory,
seen justice done in
indeed.
One way or another.
Yes.
So if people want to buy tickets for this event, it's part of the Cambridge History Festival, isn't it?
It is. Unfortunately, this event has now sold out.
Ah.
We've sold all the tickets, but there are lots of other events that people can still buy tickets for. The one that's particularly exciting, if you're fancying a lovely evening, is an evening of historical dining with Dr. Annie Gray, and that's on the 25th of February. And I think we've had that for the last two Cambridge History Festivals, because this is the third one now. And so you go into a college and you're served an absolutely sumptuous meal based around a period of history. So
it's like a meal in Harry Potter. You know, you're in this wonderful old college with all the shiny plate on the table and live out your Harry Potter fantasies.
That does sound right. And Annie Gray, Dr. Annie Gray, she's written a book, I think, about Victoria, the Greedy Queen. She's a future
indeed.
Guest on Bookmark. So I'm looking forward to talking to her. But your work, if people want to find out more about your work, it's historyneedsyou.com.
It is, yes, that's
right. We're consistent and easy to find. Wherever you go, History Needs You, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on Facebook, YouTube, you name it, History Needs You.
Well, good luck for next Tuesday, particularly to you.
Yes, thank
Jill.
You.
I hope I see you again.
You may.
I know you're not paraded through the streets of Cambridge. I'm not wishing the Witchfinder General any luck at all, but very nice to meet you, Matthew. Thank you for coming along today,
thank
both
you.
Thank you.